When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the EDH Rec Room, a place where we lean back for a bit more casual discussion about Commander. I'm joined as always by my fantastic co-hosts. Matt, how's it going, man?
You know, Joey, I child-proofed my house, but somehow the kids are still getting in, and I don't know how I feel about that. Didn't do a very good job.
Awesome stuff. And Dana, what's up?
I am just kicked back, relaxing, enjoying this 3 or 4 hour window we have here until the next set comes out.
Oh man, well by 2022 it'll be a 1 to 2 hour window. So anyway, we're here just chatting because there was some news yesterday. The rules committee made an announcement.
Yeah,
they made a couple of announcements technically.
And also real quick, I want to shout out, we will have a small announcement at the end of this episode, so teaser for later. But let's get into the main topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one that matters, the one that's going to affect people. So Kristen, Emily, Boros Aficionado. I mean, she makes all sorts of content. And Elizabeth Rice, both were named to the Commander Advisory Group, the CAG. That's the announcement that I cared about. They're both awesome voices for the community, both fun people, friends of the podcast. Yeah, they're on the CAG now. And that's, I think that's pretty swell news.
That's really cool news. That's really, really great. Something else did happen, but like, congrats to Kristen. Congrats to Ellie of the Veil. We've been angeled out by Kristen and memnarked by Ellie. So this is an awesome time.
Yeah, fantastic. And they both really deserved that as well. So I'm glad to see it.
Okay, so there was also a banning announcement. Sayonara to Hullbreacher. Hullbreacher is banned. The 3-2 Merfolk Pirate that was preventing opponents from drawing cards and turning their loss into your treasure tokens. Girl, bye. It's gone. No longer will I wait in fear when someone says, I'm going to cast a hole breach and I'm waiting to see whether they add the It made it less than a year. And you know what? It shows up in 23,000 decks, like 18% of decks that have been built in the time since its release that can play it. 18% of them are playing it. And a ban has an impact on those 23,000 plus players who were running it. But it has an impact on the opponents of those 23,000 players, too, you know? And we can just talk about how we feel about that. But as Matt may have already hinted at, some positive feelings here.
We're gonna pass the feeling stick to Matt, and it's now his turn to share to the group.
I mean, I have no strong feelings. Like, Hullbreacher was a card that, we typically play together. Like, a majority of my games are on stream, twitch.tv/EDHRecCast, if you haven't heard.
There it is.
But like, I own exactly one Hullbreacher. I think I've cast it twice. Just it never fit the type of games that I like going for. Like, we never played it in any of our decks. Like, I don't have a bunch of experience with it. Like, I can see it and see that it's an unhealthy card because of the direct parallels to Leovold. Was it worthy of getting banned? I don't know. I don't have strong feelings either way, but like, I trust the rules committee and the CAG and their input on it. It doesn't affect me a whole lot, to be honest.
No, that's a good point, because I've made the comment before about how the game of Commander as experienced by content creators isn't necessarily exactly the same one as experienced by non-content creators.
1,000%. Absolutely, yeah.
For a whole lot of different reasons. You know, people play differently against someone they know from a show they listen to, or there's observers around you watching you play, and that affects how other people who aren't used to that might play games. People might come at you a little bit harder than normally would because they want to say they beat somebody on, you know, this or that show. They might go easier on you than normal because they, you know, don't want to beat the person they listen to, whatever. There's a lot of little things that I think subtly change how the game gets played and how we experience it. And that's another example of it. None of us just play Hullbreacher, and by and large, nobody we have played with on stream for the last year has played it either. Of the, you know, probably 100-ish games we've played on stream, I don't know if I saw it cast a single time. Whereas since I've been back playing in my LGS, now that I've got my vaccine the last, you know, 6 or 8 weeks, I've seen it a couple times. So I do think that that's a good point. the experience we have doesn't necessarily match up with the experience people that don't make content have with some cards out there, because I think for whatever reason, a lot of content creators just don't run that card.
Well, and I think too, the ban list really isn't for us three.
Yeah.
For example, we've had enough Rule Zero conversations, whether on camera, off camera, whatever, that we all have a pretty good understanding of like what we're looking for. We talk with the folks that we have on the stream, all that. Like, we all know what to expect with the games, but like the ban list isn't for us. Like the people that are invested like we are. The ban list is for, you know, Timmy and Johnny going to their first Magic Fest, their first Commander Fest, whatever, next year. And they sit down with complete strangers who they've never had a conversation with. The ban list is for those people to help kind of get a good understanding and cultivate an expectation of what their first experience is going to be like. That's what the ban list is for. It's for the people who have never played games together before. So we don't really need the ban list. Like we've pointed out, the banning is not going to affect us all that much, but it's banned for the people that it will affect.
A great example of this is that I was really excited when Turgrid came out, which has a similar ability when you do wheelie stuff. And Matt made it very clear that Turgrid is just not the type of game that he's going to enjoy. And so immediately I was just like, yeah, you know what? I don't need to play that. I got other folks that I can play against. That's cool. But like Turgrid don't. Yeah. Like it's just a point of that. Like, yeah, the baseline of guiding a dynamic between strangers who sit down for a game together is I feel like this is a good addition to that guide, is how I feel. And actually, Matt, there was a moment in one of our episodes recently when we were talking about cards we don't really play. You mentioned that you had Hull Breacher in exactly one deck where you're not even playing with wheels because you don't want to exploit the things that make that card good. But man, the whole time that you were saying that during that episode, in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't care. Screw that card, because that's just sort of how I feel about it. And so like I am not sorry to see the back of it. And basically, I think that's probably going to be the general tenor of what we're hearing from folks who are responding to the banning. The tone that we've seen mostly online has been folks being like, okay, don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's kind of been the good riddance has like been an overwhelming response here. And I'm just going to add my voice to that pile, because that's how I feel. Like, bye, Felicia. I'm not sorry to see the back of that thing.
Well, and to reiterate what Dana said, like, I know my experience is not comprehensive. It is not indicative of like the greater experience at large. Like, I'm sure there are playgroups where this card was absolutely a problem. If it weren't, then I don't think it would have been banned. So yeah, I know it's a silly, insane card. And like you said, Joey, like, I built around that card because I didn't want to exploit it. I didn't feel good about that. It's a powerful card. It's a cool card. But it does zero things that like I enjoy doing.
Right. Like my metric is I also play Commander against my family. And I'm like, is this a card that I'm going to play against my family? The answer is no, because I want them to have fun. And I don't think that card would be conducive to that.
One thing I think that's kind of interesting about it and probably contributes a little bit to why it was a problem is because like there are some cards where they're definitely problematic to play or cause issues or cause feel bads. And it's super obvious that like there's no convincing yourself otherwise. The way Hull Breacher works, you can kind of tell yourself you're just making the game fair. I'm just running this to keep that person from doing something. And I'm sure that actually happens. Like, I'm sure there are people that run it just because they have a friend who draws a lot of cards or plays a lot of wheels and they want to have a way to answer that. That absolutely is a thing that occurs. But I would wager there's also plenty of situations where somebody runs it and it does cause game state issues, but they either aren't aware because they think they're using it defensively or they've convinced themselves they're using it defensively. So I think it's one of those cards that like lets you kind of mislead yourself a little bit about the impact it's having on the game you're actually in.
Right. It still has collateral damage associated with it. Even if it does keep stuff in check, the collateral damage is like, that's a problem. And I don't like that collateral damage. I thought it was too big.
Yeah, it might be keeping one person in check, but it also keeps the other two people on that four-person pod from catching back up, maybe. So yeah, you're right. Like it does more than just stop the one person that you might be playing it at the time to stop. There's a lot going on with the card.
And the rules committee also has, you know, stated like there are sort of signpost bannings about this, but there is a dynamic that's different between Hull Breacher and Narset Parter of Veils, which has a draw restriction, but is also like attackable with your very own commander right there from the command zone, and a dynamic that's different than Notion Thief, which has an additional color stapled on. And, you know, there are different dynamics, but, like, they're keeping their eyes on those. And honestly, the entire thing is just kind of funny to me, because remember when Commander Legends released and everyone said that Opposition Agent and Jeweled Lotus were the problems? Like, I get that they've got aspects that aren't crazy to them, but comparatively, I feel like Hull Breacher is the much bigger sin.
Those people also said Doom Whisperer needed to be banned before it was legal. So, like, I don't know. I like that the Rules Committee lets people play with cards to actually experience them, because we've seen time and time again, just because a card looks powerful doesn't always mean it's executed in that way.
Like, power isn't the only metric that's used for banning something. It would be a game of whack-a-mole if they were to try and ban for power. Hull Breacher just is kind of a fun vacuum. It turns the fun into a zero-sum game, and it also happens to be powerful. But that negative impression is so much the bigger issue.
And to get kind of theoretical about it, I guess, here, the thing that I keep wondering is, Leovold was obviously a problem very quickly, and they knew why Leovold was a problem. Like, the abusive things that happened with Leovold became obvious very quickly, even if it was perhaps somehow missed in development. That problem reared its head very fast, and it got banned. And they've made two more of them. And they're slightly different versions. You know, I guess they've tweaked the formula a little bit, but I'm genuinely curious, like, what happens in these design meetings where someone's like, well, this card that everybody hates, it got banned. Let's try it again. And let's try it a third time. That I don't understand. I'm not sure what the demand is for this effect that very clearly is going to be abused in a way that's going to cause terrible game states. I just don't know why they keep going back to that well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is my big thing. This is sort of the important meat of the conversation to me, to be honest. Like, Hull Breacher is banned. That's news. But we're kind of like, the world will move on from it. But this is the thing that, like, I don't personally trust Wizards of the Coast to not have the same problem again in the future. And watch, next time it will be green and it'll have, like, hexproof or something.
Sure, right.
But, like, Hull Breacher stuff occurs when design is too focused on limited gameplay environments, because the Commander Legends draft environment had the Monarch in it. Like, that's what Leovold was there in Conspiracy doing. It messed with the Monarchy during Conspiracy drafts. Hull Breacher was after that same mission. You mess with the Monarch, which isn't a huge issue in the context of that limited environment, but that slim focus doesn't factor in how the card functions in the greater context of EDH, where shutting down draws and at instant speed is just as boring as watching paint dry. Like,
I think they've learned their lesson from that too. I since Conspiracy came out with Leovold, and in interviews post Commander Legends, like, Gavin Varia said, oh yeah, like, we're gonna stop doing things like this. Like, we pushed it too much. So I think they're finally getting those lessons down. I think it's just taking a while just in the design process, the cycle, for us to actually see those lessons being executed.
I really hope so. It's just like, you know, Hogak and Modern was an issue of the numbers being tuned to the wrong dials, but the idea itself was really cool, and that card could have been fixed with tweaks to its base stats. Hull Breacher at its core is just a fundamentally misguided concept, in my opinion, even when you would tweak its stats. Like, it's a far cry from a card like Crafty Cutpurse, which at least had the dignity to only steal opponent's stuff for the one turn that it entered the battlefield, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think it's also worth noting that a lot of people just say, like, well, Sheldon Mennery, who he's kind of the chairman of the Rules Committee, he just hates playing these types of cards. He hates this XYZ. But, like, Sheldon tweeted out today, the day of the announcement, like, no, like, I would totally play Leovold every day at my LGS if I could, if it were legal. But I also know that the health of the format takes precedence over my personal satisfaction. So, like, Sheldon's banned cards he likes playing. Like, I love Sylvan Primordial. I don't think it should be unbanned ever. And so, like, yeah, like, as much as you enjoy the thing, like, you can still recognize, like, it's not good for the game.
Right.
And that's something that, like, I really appreciate Sheldon coming out and several of the CAG members, like, they're kind of saying, like, yeah, it probably wasn't great for the format. I didn't mind it, but I'm not going to be sad it's gone. Like, it's nice that we're getting a lot of communication from the Rules Committee, the CAG, et cetera.
Yeah, the RC and the CAG, especially in every comment I saw, even the couple of folks who thought they were not in favor of the banning were still like, but I get it. Like, right. Like, no one seemed confused. Boy, I got this card got banned. It was very clear. And like, yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a problem, but I totally understand.
So here's a cheeky question for you guys. If Hull Breacher had been a white card, which, like, you know, Spirit of the Labyrinth and several other white cards have established that Hull Breacher's ability is usually a lot more at home in white, but, you know, WotC does color pie things as they do. But if Hull Breacher had been a white card, do you think it would have been banned?
I don't think so. And I think we've seen that the RC is willing to let powerful cards go if they don't show up very much. I think if, and this is an extreme example, but like, I think if Tabernacle at Pendril Veil was a $5 card, it would be banned. Mm. But because it's a $5,000 card, that might be literally correct. It doesn't show up anywhere. It doesn't ever get played. So it isn't banned because it's functionally irrelevant to causing problems to game states. I think to a degree that would be true of Hellbreacher if it was white, because the problems with Hellbreacher are almost exclusively with wheel decks. And you would eliminate it from any of the Grixis wheel stuff, any of the Izzet wheel stuff. So it would be the kind of thing that, you know, okay, maybe in a 4 or 5 color wheel deck, I guess it would be an issue. But I just think it would show up in the most problematic ways way less frequently.
Yeah, I think I agree. Taking the effect and putting it out of, or taking it out of the command zone like it was with Leovold, I think if you're going to find a way to abuse those types of cards, you're going to do it no matter what. Whether it's you shift away from Grixis and you play 4-color, you play a partner deck instead.
Right, there's Jeskai wheel decks. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, like they're definitely, like, there were going to be decks that were going to be built to abuse it no matter what the color was. So I don't know if it would have been banned if it were white or not. But again, like, I am torn on the banning, but I also am, I'm not going to fight at all.
I think you then eliminate those accidental problems where, like, hey, I'm playing Merfolk and I'm also running, you know, some random wheel because I want to refill my hand and I happen to have two in my hand at the same time and I'm going to hose the entire table. I think it would by and large eliminate those kind of things, I think. So you're looking at then people that are intentionally doing it. And that becomes a much easier thing to dodge usually than people who are accidentally causing issues with games because they happen to have, you know, a bunch of wheels and Hellbreacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those accidental discoveries of powerful interactions like that, like, I think that's kind of what makes Commander. Like, if it only happens once every 50 games, that's very different than happening, like, than that being the goal of the deck.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I've accidentally discovered a near infinite synergy. I mean, probably with every single deck that I've built at some point, and whether I kept it in or not was another story. But I think that's kind of what makes Commander Commander, because you do get to stumble upon those types of interactions.
I think at the end of the day, for me, the lesson is that next time that Wizards of the Coast makes a multiplayer and Commander focused set, especially if it's got the Monarch in it, I hope that, you know, this has been a lesson learned and that we're able to look more expansively at the Commander ban list and see what happened the last time from the multiplayer sets and just internalize the lessons that have been established. And also, at the end of the day, I know that we've had a lot of waffling about this, but, like, really, the good news for us is that, like, Ellie and Kristen are on the CAG. Like, honestly, let's bring it back around to that, because that's really awesome.
Yeah, they're both wonderful voices, great people to follow. So if you want to upgrade your Twitter follows, give them both a glance. Because, yeah, they're both just great people. I enjoy my interactions with them. And it's just awesome to have their voices in the place that it will be now.
I will third all of that.
And so now let's get into that announcement that I teased a little bit earlier. Do y'all remember the salt scores on EDH Rec, where we have run the polls of, you know, the cards that folks in the community don't really like playing a whole lot against? And we just had a bunch of folks voting for cards that make them feel salty or that they do or do not like playing against. Y'all remember those? Well, they will be coming back in honor of the departure of the dear departed Hellbreacher. We will be running the salt scores again in early August. So keep your eyes peeled on the front pages of EDH Rec in early August, because we're going to be running those salt scores again, and then we can have a whole bunch of new data. And I am willing to bet so much money that if Hellbreacher had not been banned and we ran those salt polls, that it would be like a 4.0 on that salt scale by the time that got around to finishing the voting.
Yes, it absolutely would have been one of the higher ranking cards, 100%.
Yeah, it would not have been a very, the score would not have been very savory.
Well played, Matt.
This guy's got jokes.
So that's a food joke for you, because salt.
I love it. I love it. Okay, I think that that's going to have us piecing out of this rec room, but it was nice to lean back, chat a little bit casually about this. Hellbreacher's gone, new members on the CAG. Look out for those salt scores in August. It will be a lot of fun. And guys, let's shuffle up and play some Commander. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.